Live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null, broadcasting and video streaming live from our studios in New York City, and I welcome you. This is going to be an empowering hour. First, I'm going to tell you the latest on health and healing, always some peer-reviewed literature. Manuka honey, new research, it might be able to prevent cancer and a lot more. Eat your weight to a loss of weight with almonds and red clover killing prostate cancer cells. I have a lot to share, including fetal distress disrupts the way genes are transmitted. That means something I was talking about years ago, that the state of mind of your mother and father directly will imprint upon your DNA, which means that beyond your control, you've already started life with a characteristic that can either mean you're dominantly turning off your energy or turning on your energy at the DNA level, which means positive or negative behavior and attitudes. So then what do we do to correct that? I'll deal with that as well. Then we're going to show you the latest on environmental issues. Do you remember I said, pay attention, water is the issue. What happens when the great and almost incomprehensible mountain range in the Himalayas that holds an enormous amount of snowpack, what happens when it begins to warm? It has. More than 1 degree Celsius in the last 10 years alone increase. It means you create giant lakes. Lakes high up in the Himalayas. But we're not supposed to have lakes in the high Himalayas. We're supposed to have frozen mountains, not lakes. Well, billions and billions of gallons of water can be released in minutes, as they were 2 weeks ago, and flood everything in their path, a total river of destruction. It's happened, and now it's going to become more and more frequent, so I'll go into that. And then for the second part of our program, something that is unusual. You will hear from a very respected scientist, an inventor, an astroengineer, who came up with a simple way of curing malaria, one of the world's top five killers, in 4 hours. He also claims it was successful in treating persons with HIV infection and autism as well. We have an independent investigative journalist on with him who has no connection to him whatsoever, who verified the information, actually has documentary material. Now, first we were told by the International Red Cross, now there's no validity to this, but then why are there Red Cross people in the documentaries that were filmed in Africa showing them working with this man and his materials? Is there a cover-up? Do we have something that is real, that could be saving millions of lives a year, that's inexpensive, cannot be patented? Or is this just a far-fetched hypothesis without support? You'll find out. You won't want to miss this interview. Let's begin. I've been advocating Manuka honey for a long time. I was given my first jar of Manuka honey when I was in my early 20s by a person who came to my little health food store that I had on the Upper West Side. Tiny little hole in the wall called Creative Health Foods. I was its only employee. I couldn't afford another. And I was interested in carrying raw honey. So I went out to New Jersey and upstate New York and to Pennsylvania to the country to get produce that was organic and honey that was raw and unfiltered. And this person came in and said, try this and compare it to any other honey. I didn't at that time have the means of making a comparison, but today we do. And there is no honey that's better than Manuka. Man, M-A-N, Uka, U-K-A, Manuka. So what do we know about Manuka? Well, first, good research at the UAE University in Al Ain reveals that the use of Manuka honey for cancer treatment. A new research published in one of the most respected scientific journals in the world, PLOS ONE, Manuka honey was proven to contain properties that can inhibit the growth of tumors in the breast, colon, and skin. Now, we know it's native to New Zealand, and it has the bees that feed on the Manuka bush, and they've been using it for centuries in New Zealand for wound infections. In fact, when a person gets cut or burned or they have any form of skin infection or fungus, they will pack the wound with Manuka honey and propolis and wrap it. Now, we know that honey is the only food in the world that never goes bad. We also know it has unique healing properties. But be careful, because a lot of the honey today is coming from China. And I don't trust anything the Chinese give us as being pure, and because we've had such a history of the people who speak out against abuse in China, the whistleblowers in China, they're dealt with extremely harshly and with extreme harshness, and also they really don't have any quality control. They also can water it down. They can blend in other materials other than honey, like fructose or glucose. So get honey that is certified, organic, certified, that you can verify, because it's important if you're getting Manuka. Here are the other uses of Manuka as a functional food. It is antibacterial. For example, every night before I go to bed, I take a little dab, like a quarter of a teaspoon of Manuka honey, and I put that at the back of my throat. And then for the next 5 minutes, I kind of leave it there. What it's doing is it makes its way down through the throat. It's killing bacteria and viruses. And that's all good. It can also be used for diabetes, systemic inflammation, lowering your cholesterol, gastrointestinal problems, and infections. A professor, Basil El-Ramadi, lead researcher and head of the microbiology and immunology department at AU University, recently discovered that Manuka honey can be used to inhibit the growth of several types of cancer cells. Now, I'm not aware of any other literature on Manuka and honey and the treatment of cancer. And so anyhow, they discovered that the regular consumption of even small amounts of Manuka honey can actually stop the growth of cancer cells. So that's good. So Manuka honey actually works by the elimination of cancer cells by inducing the very same physiological process that the body uses in maintaining the balance and numbers of cell tissues. And the research also discovered that three types of cancer cells in this experiment, Manuka honey was able to inhibit. And aside from the inhibition of the growth of cancer cells, these findings reveal that the extract can help reduce toxic side effects from chemotherapy. So that's good. Separately, for those of you who would like to lose weight and you've been trying and you haven't been succeeding, according to the peer-reviewed Journal of Obesity, reveals that the benefits from eating almonds. Now, I remember reading Edgar Cayce, who said that 6 almonds a day help keep cancer away. And people poo-hooed it. In fact, they poo-hooed all of his prophetic insights. When he would sleep or go into a trance-like state, he would then wake up and he'd scribble down all kinds of formulas. And people thought these were just the ramblings of some psychotic. Later, a pharmacist looked at his writings and found that he had given very specific instructions and that these matched drugs that were used for conditions that were not available in his time. So indeed, he was accurate on many things. And I'm curious, what was the benefit of the almonds? Well, here's a study, and it showed it was conducted by a Dr. Michelle Wine, and it shows that almonds help weight loss. And why? Because the almond is extremely dense in nutrients, and it's got good oils in it, good fats, the monounsaturated fat. It also has good protein, and it has calcium and magnesium. In fact, a handful of almonds or a handful of walnuts gives you a good substitute for protein if you want to wean yourself off of meat, but it also is very high in fiber. And fibrous foods can effectively prevent fats and calories from being absorbed in the body. So when the fiber will bind the fat, thus preventing it from reaching the intestinal wall and instead be flushed out. And almonds contain what is called oleic acid, oleic, O-L-E-I-C. It's a monounsaturated fat. You find that in olive oil. And it's a big contributor to lowering your body's cholesterol levels. Now, studies conducted at the University of Toronto show that when you eat at least 1 ounce of almonds every day, you have a change in the bad LDL, the low-density lipoprotein, and that's good. You want that, and that helps protect your heart. So those are the reasons why I'd have some almonds every day. A lot of men come to see me with questions about inflammation of the prostate, and some have questions about prostate cancer. And I continue to show them that there's two ways of dealing with any illness. First, turn off inflammation. Secondly, rebuild the DNA of what has been damaged up to that point. It's really just a two-step process. Red clover is always what I recommend for prostate conditions of any kind, even if you don't have a prostate condition, in order to prevent a prostate condition. Now, we know that more than 250,000 men in the United States will be diagnosed with prostate cancer. Over 30,000 will die from it. In fact, 1 in 6 men will be diagnosed with prostate cancer during their life. So, what do we know about it? Well, we know that red clover contains a phytoestrogen, and it is important to understand this is a weak phytoestrogen, and it helps rebalance the hormones in the body. In the study, researchers investigated the anti-cancer mechanisms involved in the effect of this particular chemical that was found in red clover. And the results suggested higher concentrations of it inhibited the proliferation of prostate cancer cells by inactivating the enzymes responsible for cell growth and called signal-regulated kinase and mitogen-activated protein kinase. So this inhibition of cell growth enzymes resulted in the what is called apoptosis, which is programmed cell death in prostate cancer cells. And they concluded that red clover's use induces prostate cancer cell death, at least in vitro. So that's important. And by the way, plant-derived compounds called isoflavones, which are abundant in soybeans, modulate estrogen signaling in the human body via the interaction with estrogen receptors. And thus, these compounds are sometimes classified as phytoestrogens. And isoflavones have been investigated. They have anti-cancer properties. So anytime you're eating the isoflavones, you're helping prevent cancer in the body. Prevention's good. Also, strawberries. Now, here's a situation. If you're going to eat strawberries, make sure they're organic, because otherwise strawberries are heavily sprayed, like grapes are heavily sprayed and apples are heavily sprayed. By the way, I also feel that one of the things a lot of people should be looking at if they want to do homesteading is buying yourself an orchard, peach orchard, apple orchard, and even if it's not organic, that's all right, because you can rest the soil and you can add in new organic fertilizer, trim back your trees, prune them properly, and in about 3 years, the chemicals have worked themselves out of the soil. So in effect, then, you can start your transitional farming, because then you have something you can use fresh. You can dry them. You can make ciders and juices. You can make apple butter or peach butter, peach jam. There are gazillion things you can do with an orchard with the produce, and there's almost always the quality of drainage, because with orchards you have to have lightly rolling hills so that the water drains off. Anyhow, I think it's much better for most people to have something that's already there that can produce a cash crop and the benefit of pollination and bees than just plain land. So anyway, we get back to strawberries. There's new information published in the Journal of Agricultural and Food Chemistry that discovered strawberry extract decreased the proliferation of both colon, which is HT29, and breast, MCF7, cancer cells. An inhibition of HT29 cells were 53%, while MCF cells were 43%. Why? Once again, phytonutrients, ellagic acid, and that is strong in those berries. And organic strawberries are higher in their anti-carcinogenic characteristics than conventional varieties. And also cardiovascular disease also kept in check by regular consumption of strawberries. Why? Because with strawberries, you're able to lower your blood pressure, help stabilize your blood sugar, and the circulating adhesion molecules and inflammatory molecules were lower in those that consumed 50 grams. That's it's about 2 ounces, give or take, of strawberry powder. And that was in an 8-week randomized controlled study published in the peer-reviewed journal Nutrition Research. And also, scientists at University of Warwick in the United Kingdom found that strawberries not only deterred heart disease, but also the vascular complications of diabetes. Quote, "We've discovered the science behind how strawberries work to increase our built-in defenses to keep cells and organs and blood vessels healthy, and which can reduce the risk of developing cardiovascular problems such as heart disease and diabetes," end quote. And that was from Dr. Paul Thornalley. So, get your strawberries in every day. And finally, fetal stress. This is from the Federation of American Societies for Experimental Biology in their journal. From Bethesda, quote, "If you think stress is killing you, you may be right. But what you don't know is that stress might have harmed your health even before you were born. In a new report, which is in the current issue of the Federation of American Societies for Experimental Biology, Harvard researchers find that epigenetic disruptions, which are associated with chronic stress later in life, are already common at birth. Possibly these aberrations result from stressors in the environment, the maternal environment. Your mother's attitude, her diet, this all can create endocrine-disrupting chemicals." And that's important. And this was from Harvard Medical School. Quote, from a Dr. Karen Michaels, "This study may help us understand whether epigenetic mechanisms contribute to chronic disease susceptibility already prior to birth." Well, we've read over 1,500 articles from the peer-reviewed literature showing, yes, it does. Therefore, for some people to understand why they just don't feel whole, healthy, why no matter what they do with their lives, how much they succeed, they still feel this emptiness, this aching, frequently is because of how they were thought of, whether they were desired and wanted and loved, the mental state of the mother, the mental state of the father, all that contributes to the energy that ends up becoming you. And if you talked about this 30 years ago, you were thought to be a nut job. And yet, I was working at the Institute of Applied Biology with Dr. Lawrence LeChan, who was there also. And he was able to predict which women who were completely healthy would end up with breast cancer based upon the earlier conditioning in their life. And he was accurate. Today, more and more on the epigenetics. Then the question is, how do we deprogram ourselves? On that, I will deal with on an upcoming show. You can watch this by going to Ustream, that's the letter U, S-T-R-E-A-M, .tv, Ustream.tv, search for Gary Noll. You can also listen to this program any day of the week. You can go to anywhere in North America, that includes Canada, which is part of North America, and you can listen over telephone. We have people by the hundreds of thousands. We're way up into the many, many millions of minutes of people listening. Number one in America, South America, North America. Number two in the entire world of all the services using it. The number to call is 619-550-0869. 619-550-0869. Back in a moment. Please stay with us. He's got a way. To welcome all of you, because we have people listening from all over the world. I'm Gary Noll, broadcasting video streaming from New York City. From our environmental segment, global warming equals melting glaciers equals Himalayan tsunamis. As global temperatures rise, Himalayan glaciers are melting rapidly and taking entire communities with them. From Jacob Chamberlain, staff writer for Common Dreams, quote, unprecedented glacier melting caused by warming global temperatures has spawned an increase in massive water surges known as Himalayan tsunamis that are causing vast destruction in Himalayan communities in India and threatening countless others across Afghanistan, Pakistan, Tibet, India, Nepal, and Bhutan. That's according to a recent report in India Today. The phenomena known as glacial lake outburst floods are capable, quote, of releasing billions of cubic meters of glacial water stored for decades in a few short hours or even minutes and virtually without warning to those living downstream. As the average global temperature continues to rise, a combination of rapidly melting Himalayan glaciers, extreme rainfall, and unpredictable seismic events are causing this event to happen. And then it piles up, surges down the mountains, and there's nothing to stop it. Quote, the Kendenarth floods may be only a small precursor to never seen before mega floods. That's according to a Dr. Pandit, director of the Center for Interdisciplinary Studies at Mountain and Hill Environment at Delhi University. So they're saying something they've never seen before in their history. Giant lakes from global warming that are now capable of wiping out entire communities because there's nothing that can stop them. There's so many billions upon billions of cubic meters of water. One more reason, pay attention to global warming. Now, let's say hello to Luann Panessi. Hi, Luann.
Hello, Gary. Well, as you know, I've been taking so many phone calls of people interested in the retreat, and we got filled up very, very quickly. By the way, I wanted to just read you one letter that I got this morning. from a gentleman that was at the last retreat.
What's his name?
His name is Tony.
Okay.
And he said, I wanted to thank you for the retreat you just had. Making it affordable allowed me to send my mother to it, and I knew that she would benefit from the whole experience. I asked her just after she returned to send me a few highlights, and I received a page of so many different things that she loved. When I spoke with her, I asked her the number one thing that will remain with her. And the two words she says was life-changing. This was way more than I could have asked for, and I know you now have one more new listener.
That's nice.
Well, that was very, very nice.
Let me explain to this audience what we're doing. We just had a two-week retreat for our sister station, KPFK in Los Angeles. Now we're having a retreat as a fundraiser for WBAI in New York and PFW in Washington, D.C. And we've been full. That's why I haven't been mentioning it. And only if there's room and someone can't come for whatever reason, and we announce it. This is going to be August 18th, Sunday night, where there's an orientation and meal, but it actually starts Monday for 1 week. And it's cheap flights. And here's the program. You're going to end up having yoga twice a day, meditation, cooking classes, gardening classes, sprouting classes, homesteading classes. You're going to end up having art as healing classes that everyone loved, and personal counseling from Luann Panassi on the issues that are important to them. I do a lecture every night. I'm there the entire time. You'll have personal exercise, a fitness program designed for you by John Q. We'll be having power walking and biking and swimming and water aerobics and gym workouts and lots of time to commune with nature in its most beautiful, pristine forms, with beautiful gardens and butterflies and all the energy that you need to rebalance, de-stress, detoxify, and rejuvenate. So it's one wonderful week, and I'm donating my time as a service to these two stations, and as is Luann and other individuals. That's why we can offer it at $2,000 for the week. And what's really nice is for people who may have had trouble, you know, and delays in getting their premiums, and unfortunately I'm writing letters to the station managers every day asking them, please honor the audience. Give them their premiums as quickly as possible. And unfortunately, they're so cash-strapped that not everyone's getting their premium in a timely manner. There's nothing I can do. But what I can do is I'll make sure you get your premium, because the retreat is your premium. So once you sign up, you've got your premium, and it's a life-changer. So I want people to be able to come, enjoy themselves, and just realize it's time to start over. Everyone in life deserves a second chance at their life. No matter what you've mastered, how successful you've been, no matter the problems or challenges, you're going to get a whole lot of new insights on everything. So call the number Luann's going to give you if you'd like to join us. We have a wonderful staff of about 15 people be there contributing, and Shelley, my daughter, will be there doing the cooking classes. You'll be getting a great gourmet vegan meal every day and juicing all day long. And you could never afford this if it weren't for the fact that we weren't all donating our time as a service to these two wonderful public stations. Luann, your number?
Surely. It's 631-504-6198. Again, 631-504-6198. I only have, Gary, I think I have one spot that just opened up. So if anyone's interested, give me a call.
All right. One good way to help the station raise money, but also one good way to help people get their premium, and a premium like they've never had before. If people would like to see photographs of the event, the environment that we just finished at, you can go to GaryNall.com, and you'll see a click there for the pictures of Gary's Friends and Family Retreat, and you can look at the one we just completed. And this one's going to be equally special. Thank you, Luann. Your number again, Luann?
Surely. It's 631-504-6198. 631-504-6198. Give me a call.
Thank you. And you'll see how much fun people are having. All of them are smiling. Now I'm going to play you a tape. that you have not heard before. And you'll hear my challenges to the person making the claims and the individual, the investigative reporter who verified these claims. And we have four different videos by four different videographers, including two investigative journalists who were filming this. And we have documentation. So needless to say, we have a lot of evidence, or I wouldn't be giving you this interview. But it still remains to be seen what happens if there's a large clinical study that should be done in full view with total transparency and no one affiliated with the Gates Foundation or the World Health Foundation affiliated, because they've already aligned themselves with the makers of antimalarial drugs. And therefore, if this is able to get into the mainstream media, into people's consciences, people are going to say, well, why in the world isn't this front page news? This is the kind of medical breakthrough that doesn't happen except every 100 years if it's all true and can be independently verified. Here's the interview. Welcome back, everyone. I'm Gary Nall. Nice to have you with us. The issue is malaria. Now, malaria is one of the major killers worldwide and has been for decades. Of course, many different organizations, including the World Health Organization and the Gates Foundation and other philanthropic groups, would love to see this eradicated. Well, everyone would. But what if I told you that there have been major advances with a particular substance that has been able to defeat malaria in a high percentage of the individuals given, and without some of the serious side effects that we've seen from others? To understand this and why the Red Cross, fully aware of this, has not become a major advocate of it, at least held a press conference to ask for more testing or a larger test, but instead has simply denied that the tests that have been done are legitimate. Well, we have done our homework here in this office. Richard Gale, our executive producer, myself, we have reviewed dozens of documents, we've reviewed videos, and I am convinced at this moment that there is a cover-up. Now, the question is, why is there a cover-up? That I cannot answer. Let us go to two people who can give us a better understanding of a treatment for malaria that is inexpensive, is available, and that the Red Cross is aware of, actually participated in, and now is denying any such association and backing away. We have two individuals on our phone right now. One is Jim Humble. He is a former aerospace engineer who worked on the first intercontinental missile, the moon vehicle, designed many experiments, worked on the first computer-controlled machine at Hughes Aircraft Corporation, and much more. In 1996, he discovered what might be the most effective treatment for malaria to date, chlorine dioxide, better known as MMS. He has authored several books on the topic since then. He is joined by Dan Bender, a former television producer, a broadcast engineer, an internet entrepreneur. In the 1990s, he had created the 30th largest website of all time. As an independent journalist and videographer, he has been researching Jim Humble's work with malaria for the past 5 years. He was instrumental in assisting Carrie Rivera in her publication on the recovery of autistic children using this particular drug, the MMS drug. He's currently researching the cover-up by the International Red Cross on the MMS test for malaria conducted in Uganda. We are going to also ask our audience for a call to action after this. As we are heard worldwide in countries throughout the world, as we have many people listening from governmental offices in Washington, D.C. and other centers, I'm asking you, if you believe these two gentlemen and what they have to say, then shouldn't we be demanding an official congressional investigation? Should we not be contacting the International Red Cross, the World Health Organization, and other organizations to demand that they bring forth whatever information they have and explain why they have backed away from the participation they initially had? That said, now let us understand what we're dealing with. Jim Humble, we're coming to you first. Please go through your discovery of chlorine dioxide, better known as MMS, for the treatment of malaria, and if you would give us a timeline so that each piece of this puzzle is put together for this audience so they understand the association, the treatments, verification, and it's very important that you give us bona fide prima facie evidence that this has worked and what evidence you have that it has worked and who that would be a credible witness if there was ever a trial or testimony could state, yes, I can verify from my position and observation and analysis that this treatment worked. The form is yours. Take your time.
Okay. In 1996, I was in the jungle of Guyana in South America. I was prospecting for gold. I had 8 men with me, and 2 of my men came down with malaria. We had not expected malaria in that area of the jungle, so we had no malaria drugs. Far out in the jungle, and only a helicopter could get to us, and the helicopter wasn't expected to be back for another 6 weeks. So I had to think of something to do for these guys, and I asked them if they would be willing to try a health drink from America. Now, the health drink in America had been on the shelves at that time, on the shelves of health food stores for 75 years, and it was called stabilized oxygen. And so the guys were totally willing to try it. They were totally sick with malaria. They had they were throwing up. They had high fever. They had the shakes. They had aches in their arms and legs, and extreme headache, and they had all of the things that malaria gives you. And so they said yes, they were quite willing. So I give them both quite a few drops of the health drink, stabilized oxygen, and in just a couple of hours, they started feeling better, and they didn't believe it at first. And then at the end of 4 hours, they were back to normal, and we were all amazed. And the next day, a couple more of my men came down with malaria, and I did the same thing, and they were cured too in the same way in 4 hours. The health drink that's in America on the shelves, still there, is chlorine dioxide. And that's, of course, what I've been using all these years. So I went back to America, and I did some more research, and I learned that you needed to add a acid to the chlorine dioxide, to mineral that was on the shelves in America. The actual mineral is sodium chloride, and when you add acid to sodium chloride, it actually produces chlorine dioxide. And so I went back and researched it out, and finally come up with adding adding the acid to the mineral. And then I made some friends in Africa, and by internet, and I sent them letters, and finally I sent them a few dollars to help them along, and they were willing to give the chlorine dioxide to some of their people who had malaria. And so I had 2 people in Africa who were treating people with malaria for me, and so we were doing a certain amount of checking and research and adjusting the acid with the sodium chloride that we had. So I was able to cure maybe as many as 100 people of malaria by proxy, by these guys that were working with me. One guy took people to mountain. Do you remember the name?
Kilimanjaro.
The Mount Kilimanjaro, and the other guy was a doctor. So we did some really good research there, and got the solution working every time. I mean, it actually worked 99.9% of the time. You know, we did, seldom failed, and so then. And that was in 97 and 98 and 99. And then 2000, I did some, I just was sort of in living in a desert in Nevada. And then finally, I had a person there in Nevada who knew some missionaries in Africa, so we worked out a deal, and they sent me to Africa to the missionaries, and the missionaries had a number of churches around, and that was in Kenya. They had a number of churches, and so they would have people with malaria show up at the church in a particular hour. Sometimes there were different churches, and some of the churches had as many as a couple of hundred people showing up with malaria, and I would give them all a dose of my MMS, and they would the malaria cleared up in 4 hours. Normally it was gone in 4 hours, which amazes us all, and of course, and me too. And then so we had a number of churches, so in a couple of weeks I was able to treat a couple of thousand people in Kenya. And then I went to Uganda and did the same thing. And so this was then at about 2002, and then I of course went back home, and communicated with people in Africa, and finally I found a person in Africa who invited us to Malawi, and he was just a businessman, but he invited us there, so I went there, and we did various different tests. I did a control test in a prison there with a doctor and a person with a microscope, and we did a complete test on two different groups of 20 people, and in each case we had 100% recovery of malaria in the prison. And and there were certain people who said, well, I shouldn't be testing prisoners and all that, but we give them complete choice. If they wanted to take the test, they didn't have to, and one guy didn't want to, and so he didn't take it. So it wasn't that we were forcing those prisoners to do anything. A lot of people got upset when I talked about testing prisoners, but we actually, and then there was another 40 people in that prison who had malaria and that weren't part of the test, and so we went ahead and treated them as well. So everybody in that particular prison who had malaria, which is around 80 people, were all cured of malaria, and they were all happy. So I don't see anything wrong with us testing those people. And then we did other tests around the Malawi, and after a few weeks, I went back, and so I didn't So that was then when I wrote my book in 2005 and 6. I wrote the book and then I treated people in South Africa, and then I went back to Malawi. And when I went back to Malawi, I didn't get into treating malaria. I treated people for HIV, and I treated 800 people for HIV in 2008, I think. And of course, the test with...
what was the outcome?
On what?
The 800 people you've treated.
Oh, the 800 people, they actually were 750 of them were cured right away. When I say right away, within 3 weeks, and I had to call 50 of them back in and retrain them on how to use the solution, and they went back out and they were all okay. So there was only 5 out of the 800 who were not cured, and all of those people had opportunistic diseases, you know, diseases that come in when a person has HIV. There's all, they usually wind up catching all kinds of different diseases. So there was, you know, 40 of them who had cancer, and there was you know, they had hepatitis C, they had every kind of disease you can think of, and all of those diseases were cured along with the so the cancer were all cured along with the HIV.
Okay, now when did the Red Cross become aware of your work, and how did they monitor your work?
Well, you know, I really don't know when the Red Cross first came to me was in back in of last year was September of last year, the way it happened was a fellow named Klaus Prosmans came to see me in Mexico, and he came to one of my seminars, and he told me he didn't believe that MMS worked, but he wanted to come and prove it one way or the other. And so he came to the seminar, and he said he was one of the top men in the Red Cross, and that he was the head of the water reference board for the Red Cross. And of course, he went through the seminar, and he left, and he said, "Well, I think it's worth a test." And he said, "I'm going to have the International Red Cross and the Red Cross in for the country and." In Africa, he said, and the Water Reference Board was him. We're all going to put on a test that will determine whether it works or not. And so they got together. The three of them got together, and they did the test starting on the 12th of December of last year, and. They started off with they worked for only 4 days, and during those 4 days they treated actually treated 781 people, but only out of that 781, only 154 of them had malaria. But the way they did their treatments was complete. The first thing they did was they tested everybody for malaria, and the ones that tested positive, then they sent them to the lab for blood tests with a microscope and a certified microscope technician, and they had a doctor sign the papers that they had malaria, and so 154 people were treated during those 4 days for malaria, and over a period of 24 to 48 hours, all 154 of them were cured or came out as negative after the treatment. And then, of course, that's where the bad stuff started. We expected that they would announce it and start right off. And so we said, well, when are you going to announce it? And we said, we can't announce it until we have proven that there's no problem with chlorine dioxide. Well, I pointed out to them that chlorine dioxide had been taken in the United States for 80 years by that time, by thousands, hundreds of thousands of people. And of course, it was used all over the world to purify water. It was used to purify vegetables and preserve vegetables for weeks longer than normal, and it's used in hospitals. It's used all over the world, and there's been hundreds, literally hundreds of tests to verify the safety of it. But they said they had to verify the safety again, and so they said they would, as soon as the safety was verified, they would announce it to the world. And so they kept, but they said, you guys got to promise to not say anything.
Okay, let's jump forward here because we're running out of time.
All right.
What is their current position?
Their current position is they're not saying anything. They're just gone quiet. They've said that they wish to distance themselves from me and any idea that their malaria can be cured by
chlorine dioxide.
Miracle mineral of some kind.
Jim Humble, I'm going to ask you now to remain quiet because we're going to bring in Dan Bender. Dan is an independent journalist and a videographer. Dan, welcome to our program.
Thank you.
Dan, I need you to up your volume there a bit. Are you on Skype? Is that it?
Yes, I am. You may hear me better later on when the editing is done.
Okay.
Because I have a separate track for you.
All right, Dan, you have no financial interest in this, I'm assuming?
Absolutely none.
You're here purely as an independent investigative journalist.
That is correct. I have found this topic interesting several years ago when I saw an interview with Jim that was performed online, and there was just something that tickled my interest, not only personally in terms of health areas that could be improved because MMS appears to work on many, many different fronts, but also as something that just needs to be out there. And if it actually does what Jim claimed, at least based on what I heard at that time. And so over the last several years, I've managed to get to know all the key players in the MMS area. And in fact, I have interviewed some of the people and have put out YouTube videos that have been received fairly well. And I have also in recent times helped Carrie Rivera, who has to date, I believe the number is 97 recoveries based on a protocol. It's a combination of things, with MMS being one part of that, when recovering children with autism. So I know that things work. I've spoken to parents who have been treating their children, and there is like a happiness that they finally have found something that is making a difference over the protocols and different treatment techniques.
Okay, but hold on. Dan, I need you to just follow my line here for a moment. Would you please?
Sure.
Okay, I don't want to get distracted. Mm-hmm. Now, normally, if someone came forward, like Jim Humble, and said that they had found a way of curing malaria in 4 hours with no side effects, it would be dismissed out of hand as just nonsense or quackery.
Sure.
If they continued to promote the idea and had a financial interest in it, they say they're just an opportunist looking to exploit people's pain and ignorance.
Right.
But Jim is a former aerospace engineer. He worked on the first intercontinental missile, the moon vehicle, and he worked on the first computer-controlled machine at Hughes Aircraft Corporation. He has done a lot of stuff in the background of his life that gives him some, at least, basis for knowing cause and effect. Now,
right.
From your research, have you found that his statements on this program up to this date are accurate or inaccurate, and do you have independent verification from physicians or patients or both to hit the veracity of his claims?
Actually, yes. I have had the opportunity to speak with a number of doctors around the world that have been like kind of like Doctors Without Borders, where it was a Western doctor that went to Africa and had treated people there with MMS and sometimes a combination of other things, but that was one of the parts. And they had success with the MMS treating malaria patients. They treated AIDS patients, they treated, there's a lot of other illnesses where they have skin diseases, and these doctors were clearly knowledgeable, Western trained, but were not willing to just follow the company line, shall we say. They thought outside the box and wanted to find something that worked better than the traditional malaria medicines or medicines for AIDS or whatever it was that they were treating. And they made it very clear to me, and they had nothing to gain by it, that this substance works. In fact, I recently spoke to one doctor who told me he has done further research and will be releasing that at some point. So I can't go into details, but this research is ongoing by people, often quietly done because they don't want to get themselves into any kind of problems. That's one of the issues with this whole thing, is that it goes against the general common sense and sounds too good to be true.
You can't patent chlorine dioxide.
Exactly.
It's there. It's been grandfathered in. So pharmaceutical companies that currently have anti-HIV drugs, anti-malaria drugs, would be financially threatened if the Red Cross suddenly endorsed this in any way or gave its approval or acknowledged the credibility of its evidence.
Right.
So let me just see if I'm hearing you correctly. You're saying that you have independently confirmed with first-person interviews with medical doctors, Western-trained medical doctors in Africa, that they've used the MMS, which is chlorine dioxide, in persons who have malaria, and it's helped them overcome their malaria, and persons with HIV infection. You've also interviewed parents who've used this as a part of a protocol, and it's helped them with their treatment of autism spectrum disorder. Is that correct or incorrect?
Yes, you have that correct. The only thing I want to make to clarify is that I did not speak to these doctors when they were in Africa. I spoke to them when they were in Europe or the U.S., but they showed me photos of their activities, and their statements to me made it very clear that they were there and knew what they were talking about.
Have you interviewed the Red Cross?
No, I have not.
That would seem
I have gone through documentation, emails, everything I could gather from Jim and others regarding this matter. And based on what I see, I do see people trying to, they've changed their tone. They try to keep this quiet. They did not want
let's go back.
Go and talk about it.
Okay. Do you have prima facie evidence that could be presented in a court of law that the Red Cross in Africa participated in the treatment of patients with chlorine dioxide?
Well, we have certainly that video that we've discovered, and we have discovered subsequently, in fact, there are two additional videos that we have not released yet that we found just a few days ago, where you see Red Cross workers with identification of who they were, making statements about this substance and how amazed they were at how well it was working for them.
All right, but that's substantial evidence. So what we know up to this point is that people within the International Red Cross experimented and found positive results, but now have chosen to go quiet on it, which
correct
means for many of us that there's a potential cover-up going on. So this is what I'm going to ask this audience to do. Demand your local media cover this story. Contact the International Red Cross and inquire about the cover-up. Watch the leaked video on YouTube and go to mmswiki.org, mmswiki.org, until we can find out what's behind this, because this is a multi-billion dollar industry, billions and billions of dollars between malaria and HIV and other drugs. So at some point, we can only surmise that this represented a threat against some special interest, because otherwise you would be seeing large-scale studies, 10,000, 20,000 people who have proven by blood analysis that they have malaria, given the treatment, another group given the standard treatment, and you compare the two over a period of time. See how long the recovery takes, if there's any morbidity, mortality, and then you publish in the peer-reviewed journal. That's the way it should be done. Then the World Health Organization would lead in disseminating this information to the world public, and then making something this inexpensive, because chlorine dioxide is very inexpensive, available to the American and world public. But this hasn't happened. And because there are physicians and workers who have used this and gotten positive results, we are now asking for a full-scale investigation and a full-scale effort for a clinical observation. Now, the good news is we have people in this audience at all levels of government, including at the highest levels of the UN, listening. I know that for a fact because they have come up to me in the store and on the street in my office and spoken about how they listen to the show. And so I'm going to ask this. I would like to see the UN sponsor a simple clinical study on chlorine dioxide, MMS. In Africa, where you have millions, tens of millions of people affected by malaria each year. It's easy enough to get a public health official and the overseer of all health in a country to cooperate. It would be inexpensive, easy to do. Let's see this happen. And then that'll either support Jim Humble's statements that he has stumbled across something that is could be the most important drug discovered in the last 100 years. This equals antibiotics because of how many people's lives it could save. And because we have a lot of people die of malaria every year. Or that it doesn't work. It doesn't work because it was shown not to work in a large study done independently and done properly. That's what I'm asking. Dan Bender, we're going to follow up on this. And Jim Humble, we're going to follow up, but at least now it's out there to a larger audience, and we'll see where this goes. All the best to both of you for coming on the show and helping us.
Thank you for giving us an opportunity to tell our story and what's been going on.
Yeah,
really
thanks a lot.
Good, and see that we get all the different videos, and we'll post them on our website, too.
Terrific. We'll do.
Okay.
I'm Gary Knoll. Thank you all for listening.
Sleep late last night, and I dreamed the night.